to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Reach up your hands. Father, we come to receive what Jesus is ready to give and do. We come, Father God, with an open heart. We come ready, receptive, hungry, and thirsty. We thank you for filling us and nourishing us and giving us answers this morning. We thank you for guiding the service, guiding our lips, guiding my thoughts. Think through my mind, I pray. Speak through my lips. May we receive and know all that Jesus has prepared for us this morning. And we thank you today for the highest flow in your plan in this service. We'll be careful to give you all the praise for every changed life and every need met in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're so faithful. You're so good. We give you the honor that's due unto you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's important that we come with an open heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Even at the beginning of the service, we all already got a healing testimony already at the beginning of the service. Praise the Lord. Happened just a few minutes ago. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, get your Bible if you brought your Bible. Hold it up real high and say, this is my Bible. I'm going to get the Word this morning. I'm hungry and thirsty. God promised me I'd be filled. Amen. So, Father God, say this to the Father. Father, I receive what you have to say to me. Open my eyes, I pray, that I might see you in a greater way and know your Son Jesus in a better way. And see myself the way you see me, a better way. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Do you believe what you said? God heard you? Yes, he did. God's good. He's gonna answer, show you exactly what you need. Praise God. If you brought your Bible this morning, why don't you go with me? Let's see where a good place to start would be. My. Let's go to... Well, let's see here. Got so much rolling around on the inside. Why don't we just go to Philemon, the first chapter. Philemon, the first chapter. We're so glad for you. If you're a visitor here today, we're glad you're here. And so thankful you've come to visit us. But if you're looking for a home church, we have something we want to tell you. Welcome home. Welcome home. If you're looking for a place you can grow and learn and receive, and you go beyond just status quo, be challenged to go higher, you found it. If you're looking for a church of perfect people, well, go find somewhere else, because we... but we are reaching for it. Isn't that right? We're reaching for it. So thankful for the visitors today. We want you to come back. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and Wednesday nights at 7, and then we always got more things going on. Like we've just had the men's event, there's always things like that happening, so praise the Lord. All right, Philemon, chapter number 1. There is just one chapter. I want to read with you verse number 6, Philemon, chapter 1, verse number 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I know there's no good thing in me. There's only good things in the Lord. Yeah, and he's in you. He made you a new creation. And his work is not shabby. It's good. It's a good work. He did a good work. Praise the Lord. And so, but this verse has been standing out to me. In fact, it was standing out to me the whole time during the men's conference, and I kept thinking, Lord, well, I know what, I'm just getting unction to go different directions, but as I got quiet, it just started coming clear what the Lord wanted. He wanted me to share this morning. And I want to kind of look at it with a little bit knowledge of what the Greek actually says, because it's not real clear in the King James. And one of the reasons is because of the King James translation of the word communication. That's the word we use for talking on the phone. We don't know what that means in this verse. But if you look up the word that they translate a communication, it's really not a very good translation. It means to share in common. The Greek word means to share in common. And so really what he's saying is the faith we share in common, because how many of you know we've all been given the measure of faith, that faith that we all share in common becomes effectual, and the Greek word means active, full of energy, activity. The faith we share in common becomes active and full of activity by acknowledging every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us. The Taylor translation says, the wealth of good things that's in us. Wow. Wow, the new creation has a wealth of godly things in it that are amazing. He's talking about every good thing that's in us in Christ. In Christ, we're a new creation. And when you study the in Christ realities of the new creation, and you see yourself in the way that God sees you in the light of that new creation, you get amazed at yourself. somebody said, I get amazed at myself because I made myself. No, the Bible says we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. The Amplified says, born anew, born brand new. The old man passed away. The new man was created in Christ. He's God's workmanship. And oh, what a piece of handiwork it is. Oh, yeah. The new creation's not shabby. You know what I mean by shabby? That's the way we grew up talking. I don't know if you understand that or not, but I mean, he's a fancy piece of work. The new creation. We're not. We didn't create ourselves. We're not talking about what we've become because of our own efforts or something. We're talking about His workmanship and who we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. And he said, this man in the Taylor translation has a wealth of good things in him, this new creation. You know, whenever you got saved, you got the same body you had before you got saved. And really, to be honest, the same old thoughts as before you got saved. But what was made new was the spirit man, the part that will live forever, the part that even when this body dies, lives forever, goes on to be with God or spends more than 23 minutes in hell. And it's no laughing matter, really, but the point is we have part of our being will live forever. And that's why psychologists don't want to acknowledge that part of man, but the Bible says we're three-part beings. Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. We're talking about the spirit man. God told us in Romans 12, 1 and 2 to do something with our mind and with our body. We were sharing with the men some things about that, doing some things with our mind. But at the men's event, but we are to take the word and renew our minds with the word of God about this new creation. Yes. Well, yeah, renew our minds about God and Jesus and who He is and what they are and what they do and so forth and so on. Remember, Paul said, "I no longer." This is 2 Corinthians 5:16. He said, "Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we Him no more." When Paul knew Jesus after the flesh, he was persecuting him and killing Christians. When he met him on the road to Damascus and got a revelation of who he really was, he bowed the knee. Jesus, be Lord, Woo, man. And when you get a revelation of who he really is, you are amazed at his glory, at his power, at his wonder, at his love, at his grace and kindness and what he's done for you. And he came into you at the new birth and put all these things in you. And there's a wealth of good things, like the Taylor translation says, in you. The acknowledging, notice again the King James of this, well, I would say the paraphrase because of the Greek, the faith we share in common becomes active by the acknowledging of all these good things that are in us in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is in us. Peace is in us. Joy is in us. Holiness is in us. Power is in us. Being merciful is in us. The love of God is in us. Amen. It's a brand new creation. Paul knew Jesus after the flesh, and he persecuted him. He knew Jesus after the spirit and bowed the knee. Whenever you know yourself in yourself, you don't like him. But whenever, a lot of times, there's a lot of things about ourselves we don't like. But whenever you come to be, when you come into Christ and you find out who that new man is, you'll go, whoa. I am a piece of handiwork. And you'll see yourself different. It's the end of insecurity. It's the end of an inferiority complex. I've told you before, I used to, feel bad if somebody didn't like me, but I got my mind renewed, found out who I am in Christ, found out I'm a great blessing.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right.
You might think that's pride saying that. I'm talking about in Christ. In myself, I'm nothing. But in Christ, I got gifts on the inside of me.
Hallelujah. That's right. Amen.
Someone said, he's bragging. I'm acknowledging every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. I didn't say I came up with these gifts. I didn't say I made myself righteous. I didn't say I did all these. I'm talking about who he made me. And I'm not just talking about myself. It's true about you. When you bowed the knee and said, Jesus, be Lord, come into my life, he came in, made you a brand new creation. And all these things are true about you now. Not sometime whenever you really get it together, whenever you really, no, it's true about you now. What you and I are called to do is find out who that man really is. Find out what that new creation has, what he is in Christ, the abilities he has, the nature he has, all these things, and start acknowledging them. I said, start acknowledging them. Well, I can't say that. It's not true. Well, how can you tell? I mean, if somebody said, if I say that, it'd be a lie. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I can't say that. I know me. Yeah, I know. You know you after the flesh. Huh?
Yeah.
How many of you know after the flesh, we've all missed it? That was weak for a group of people that I know missed it. And you know I've missed it. Tell your neighbor, we all know pastors missed it. I don't know, doesn't matter how good looking my wife is. She's good looking this morning, but I know her. She's missed it. But see, we got to learn to know one another after the Spirit. And whenever you say, I can't say I'm righteous because that I've been made the righteous of God because I know myself, I'm not. Well, that's knowing yourself after the flesh. In fact, go over to that verse. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians. We were quoting Paul mentioning he knew Jesus after the flesh and then got to know him after the Spirit. But notice what he said in that context. Let's back up there and let's slow down and get that before we move on any further this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Henceforth know no man after the flesh, yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. And then verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Talking about this new man. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if you're a new Christian, you might not understand all that, but that's not talking about your body. If you got saved last week, you still have the same nose you had. You still got the same. Your ears are still attached or unattached, whichever ones they are. You're still the same height. You still got the same color hair, same color eyes. You know, we're not talking about, a new creation in the flesh. We're talking about there's a man lives on the inside. That's the real you. The part's going to live forever. And that man was made a new creation whenever you were born again. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. New. Brand new beginning, brand new person. Somebody said, I bet I did all those things, all those old things before I got saved. I did all those things. No, you didn't do them. What? Yes, I did. I know I was there. I saw myself do them. That old man passed away. That wasn't you. That was that old man. You're a new creation in Christ. So when you stand on the witness stand and the devil says, that was you, you are guilty, you deserve punishment, you deserve to be sick, broke, busted, disgusted. You're a sinner. Yeah, I know you. You're weak. You're a failure. You're this. You're that. You're in bondage. You got this habit. You. You go, when you're on the witness stand and he's making all these charges, you just have to look over to your lawyer and say, what do you have to say? What do I say? And he says, plead that you're a new creation. That man died. Bible says, the Bible says Jesus is our advocate. That means he's our attorney for the defense. And so when all these accusations come, you just look to him and see what he says. And he'll point you to the word and said, you are a new creation. The devil. And so if you'll say what and acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ, Satan can't make the charges stick and he can't prosecute you. If all you say is what your attorney for the defense says, you say, what do I say? He said, say you're a new creation. Yes. And you say, I'm a new creation. The devil said, you did that. I'm a new creation in Christ. Yeah. That man died. That wasn't me. Yeah. Because that's who you are. You got a new nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, and so when you say that, Satan can't make any of the charges stick. Yeah. And you actually start being transformed in the outward man and in your mind as you learn to acknowledge these things, confess these things, and your life takes on the image of what you acknowledge, and you start actually in the outward experience becoming who God said you are already. You are already recreated in your spirit, man. God wants you to think that way, talk that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's all simple. But see, we're helping some young Christians this morning, and it's good for all of us. And that's how your faith becomes active. I said, that's how your faith becomes active. The word acknowledge means to show or express realization or recognition of. To show or express realization or recognition of. To admit to be real or true. To admit the truth of a fact. Hallelujah. So show or express realization of or recognition of. So what he's saying is express some recognition of what I said you are, who I said you are. Don't lie against the word. Somebody said, well, I can't tell that. That'd be a lie. How can you lie when you're telling the truth? See, what we're dealing with is the difference between sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge will tell you who you are based on past experiences, your own feelings, your own emotions. Amen. I said sense knowledge will. I said sense knowledge will. It'll tell you, well, see, look at this. Remember what you did? And all of that is based on past experiences. Often it's based on what the devil has said. It's based on things like the curse. And what you experienced under the curse before you were born again. And it tells you, it tries to tell you who you are and what you don't have and all of that. But see, that's fake news. You are now redeemed. You're the old man that lived under all that curse and that was sinner and that was, you know, all that stuff in bondage and all that. That man was crucified with Christ. The new you in the image was created in the image of God. No, not me. I know me. No. You don't know you. What you got to know is the you in Christ. There has to be a renewing of your mind, a new knowledge, and a new recognition of the realities of who you are in Christ. And begin to only say those things about yourself because God sees you a certain way and He wants you to see you that way. I said, He wants you to see yourself that way. Somebody said, well, I don't see myself that way. I see myself this way. Well, God sees you a different way, and somebody's telling the truth, and somebody's lying about this.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to decide who's the truth teller and who's the liar.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll volunteer the answer for you. I'll volunteer that you have told a lie. When you said, no, I know me, I'm a failure. I just never have been able to prosper. I know me. No, you lied about it. You lied. No. No, you got abilities that are in your inner man that maybe you've never had in your mind or your flesh. And that's the man we're talking about. And that's the man you should talk out of. Praise the Lord. And that's where faith becomes alive. It starts working. Remember he said, your faith becomes active by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. Before you say anything about yourself, about your spouse, or other people that are believers, examine, is this true about them the way God sees them? The way God sees them. Otherwise, we're going to put them in a pigeonhole and try to hold them into bondage, and we'll help them see themselves wrong. We should believe the best of every person, and the best of every person is who God said they are.
Yeah.
Amen. So express some realization of it. That's why we have to come to church. That's why we have to read the Word. That's why we must study the Word and get our minds renewed with the Word, because that's where the realization of the truth comes. It comes from the Word. And in the context of this verse, it means to show some faith in what God has said rather than in what you feel or see about yourself. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. If you can handle some more this morning. These are things that have changed my life. I know they're changing your life. They continue to change my life. I'm going to stay with it till Jesus comes. In Colossians 3, we read in verse number 10, let's go back to verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. See, don't lie about who you really are. That old man's not who you really are. Don't lie and say, that's who I am. Verse 10, and have put on the new man. Put on the new man. In other words, he's new on the inside. Put him on the outside. Which is renewed. This new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This new man, this new creation. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We didn't finish that, by the way. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we read it and didn't finish it. He said, know no man after the flesh. How should we know ourselves? We should know ourselves according to the way God sees us. He sees us as a new creation, verse 17. And we're not to know ourselves after the flesh. In other words, you might see the flesh and see weakness, infirmity, failure. You might see some insufficiencies. But he said, don't know yourself or speak of yourself according to the flesh.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
No man includes yourself.
Amen.
No man includes yourself. I'm not to know myself after the flesh.
Amen.
If you want to overcome those inefficiencies in your mind or your flesh or so forth, then get to know yourself after the Spirit.
Amen.
After the new creation. And begin to acknowledge those things. Even when your brain goes, that's crazy. I know myself. That's not true. Just acknowledge that let God be true and every man a liar,
the
Bible said.
That's right.
He's not telling a lie. He said it, and so if you tell it, you say it, you acknowledge it, you're not lying about it because you're acknowledging what he said about yourself. This is where faith, this is the bottom of faith. This is where faith starts really taking off. When he says, by his stripes you were healed, acknowledge it. Even when your head doesn't understand it, acknowledge it. Because apparently God knows more than we know. And his image of us is accurate.
Yes, it is. Right.
Our image is distorted by sense knowledge. You know, they talk so much about fake news today. The devil's into fake news. He'll tell you news about yourself that's fake, that's a lie. It's not in the image of God. It's not the knowledge of God. It's Satan's knowledge, and it's his image of you. It's like going to the fair. You ever been to the fair? And you know, you got all these games and stuff, and you can win teddy bears and all that. But have you ever walked in front of the mirror that makes you look 3 feet tall and 2 feet wide, or, you know, 3 feet wide or something? It's a distorted picture of who you really are. Well, that's the way a lot of religion is. That's the way what the devil says. It distorts the image of who you really are. And you look in that mirror and you look at yourself and you go, I don't like me. But that's not reality. Here's reality. Here's reality. See, you have to have the conviction this is reality. What do you mean reality? Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. What does the word truth mean? I dare you to look it up. I dare you. The word truth means reality.
Amen. Amen.
This is reality. Thy word is reality.
Amen.
Now, I don't care that some of you are sitting here looking at me like, I've heard this over and over again, Pastor. Until you stay excited, until you get excited about it, you really haven't heard it yet.
That's true.
That's true. And I'm really preaching to some younger ones this morning. But this is good for all of us. All right. So don't know yourself after the flesh. Don't speak of yourself after the flesh. Well, I'm just a failure. I'm just dumb. I'm just slow. I'm just. Who said? Who said? Where's that coming from? If you go back and look and think, you go back, well, they started telling me that in kindergarten, you know. Who's they? People looking at you after the flesh. Not seeing yourself in Christ. In Christ, Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. We look a whole lot better in Christ than we do in the flesh. Yeah. I know it sounds arrogant to some people whenever we speak of ourselves according to the Word of God, but we're not talking about our own self, making ourselves that way. We're talking about acknowledging who He said we are because we are His workmanship and He didn't make us shabby. We are a piece of handiwork. Piece of handiwork. So Colossians 3:10, this inner man is new in knowledge or renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. In other words, this new man, this new creation, is not only has a new nature, he has a new knowledge. Not just a new nature, he has a new knowledge. Did you get that? He's renewed in knowledge. What knowledge does he have? He has the knowledge of the in Christ realities. He has in him realities. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's an in him reality. That's not an in my flesh reality, but it is an in him reality. Someone said, I just can't do that. I just can't tithe. I can't live free from sin, bondages of sin. I'm bound to habits of sin. Wait a minute, who said so? Who said so? When you start renewing your mind and acknowledging, get this new knowledge, and acknowledging who you are in Christ, the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. He that is, this is Romans 6. Romans 6 also says, he that is dead is free from sin. Well, I'm not dead, I'm alive. Wait a minute, the old man was crucified with Christ. That's who he's talking about, and actually he's talking about all of us. We're all dead. I'm talking about the old man is all dead. Yeah. And so that new man, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. He's talking about that old man with that old nature. that man was crucified, and he that is dead is freed from sin. So I, this new man, I say about myself, sin shall not have dominion over me. I've been delivered from the nature of sin. I have a new knowledge that I am free, and it has, and I'm free from sin. Free from sin. I don't have to do it. We were talking to the men about that. We don't have to do it. I got the ability and the nature of righteousness in me. And this inward man has that nature, but he also has that knowledge. He also knows it. Your inward man knows some things that your head doesn't know yet. You understand what we're talking about? He has the in him knowledge. It's not the sin consciousness knowledge. It's righteousness conscious. That's the knowledge he has. He has the knowledge of his freedom. He has the knowledge of his ability to overcome. He has all this knowledge. This new man has this new knowledge. But this new knowledge, this knowledge of this inward man was also written down. The inward man has it, but God gave it to us in a book called the Bible. And if you really want to know what your spirit already knows, and you want your mind to catch up with what your inward man already knows, start pouring yourself into the knowledge of especially the epistles of the New Testament, because they're really where we are today. We're living in the epistles. We're not living under the Old Testament. We're not living in the Gospels. That's all written for us too. The Bible talks about it's written for us, but this is written to us. This is the letters to the church. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this new knowledge is in the epistles. It's written down. Paul got it and wrote it down. It's in the epistles. And when our spirit hears it, our spirit knows it's true. Our spirit knows it's true because it has this knowledge. Our inward man, the Holy Spirit's living in there, and he's passing that knowledge on to our spirit. He knows it. And when we hear the truth, something in our spirit goes, I know that's true. I know that's true. And our head goes, we're sitting in service, and our head goes, no, it can't be true about me. But your spirit's in here going, believe it, believe it. Say it, say it, say it, say it. Acknowledge it, acknowledge it. And then your faith will rise up and start being, it'll start pushing the lies out, pushing the bondages out. Glory to God. This is where transformation comes from. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where a transformed life comes from. You can look at your life and see where you came from, and you could go, transformation, transformation, transformation. And so there are things true about you that sense knowledge won't tell you about. It's the image of God. It's the image God has of you. God's picture of you is accurate, and he wrote it down so you could get a clear picture of yourself. I know we get a clear picture of God in his word. I understand that. But we also get a clear picture of ourselves in Christ. Amen. His picture is accurate. Really, if you want to know what the epistles really are, they're God's photo, family photo album. That's right. Amen. You can see if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and you say, whoa, I'm in Christ. That's me right there. Look at me. Whoa. Looking good, looking good. You know, whenever you see family pictures, I always do it. I know it's vain, but whenever your family gets together and they take a family picture, you know, and you get the picture in the email or in your inbox or whatever, who's the first person you look for? Your cousin?
No.
Nah. You look for you. How do I look? How do I look? Isn't that right? You old vain person, you. Well, that's what you should do in the Bible. The first person you should look for is you in Christ. That's me right there. Woo, that's me looking good, looking good. The devil says, look at yourself. That ain't, and you go, oh, I don't like that. Wait. No. Let me look at who I am in Christ. You'll get to liking that man so good, you'll be talking about him all the time. Even though you just fell and goofed up and messed up, acted like a dumb dumb, You get back up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When the devil can't get you to, see, listen, the Bible says for you and I to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ. The devil wants that. In other words, he wants our acknowledgement. He wants us to acknowledge what he's saying. The fake report. He wants us to believe it, say it, cry about it. Oh, I just can't overcome. And he wants you to believe those things. He wants that acknowledgement. Don't let him have it. Bite the lip. Zip the lip. Only speak what God says about you. Well, I just messed up. I can't say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Sure you can. Try it. Sure you can. Hello. That's the way God sees you. Get knowledge of the image of how God sees you and begin to confess it over yourself. Confession is where it comes alive. Comes alive when you confess it. God's image of you is in his word. When a man begins to acknowledge the word of God in opposition and in defiance to what he feels like or what he sees, amen, his mind is beginning to be renewed. See, that's where this transformation by the renewing of the mind comes from. We find ourselves in Christ through the word, and then we begin to acknowledge that. And as we speak that, we're beginning, even in defiance of how we feel, then that's the beginning of the renewing of the mind. Praise the Lord. Just defy the natural realities and speak spiritual realities. Hallelujah. This new knowledge will renew your mind, and it will create an image of you within your own being of who God sees you to be. Amen. And that image is accurate because it's God's picture of you. Yeah. We're coming into a day in our culture where they're starting to have technology. They can take a piece of video, change the words that a person spoke on the video and change the movement of their mouth and actually make it look like they said something they didn't actually say. And it's all fake. There's stuff coming on the scene and it's getting really dangerous. You know, we already have the ability to crop pictures and photographs and put things in there that aren't reality. Well, the devil does that. That does that. He shows you a picture of you and say, that's you. And you have to just defy. If it's against this, you have to defy it and say, I don't care what you show me. I know the truth. I know the truth. And just give him no place. Give him no place. How long do I have to do it? Until you see the results. And then let me give you a clue. Then keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. Knowledge can be corrupted. Amen. I said knowledge can be corrupted. It can be distorted. It can be wrong. The Bible talks about things like false science. It talks about the enemy being a liar. He will show you, he will remind you of actions you made, things you did, thoughts you had, so forth, things you did, and he'll say, that's you, but that's false knowledge. That was you in the flesh, but that's not you in who God made you to be. That's not you. People get amazed sometimes. They'll come in and they'll say, I missed it so bad, I failed in counseling meetings, so forth, and we'll just say, well, let's ask God to forgive you, you know, and so forth. And then from then on, we treat them as if that's not really who they are. I mean, they did that, but we don't treat them like that's who they are.
That's right. Amen.
That's something they did. That's not who they are.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
And some of them get blown away. They're like, whoa, they don't treat me any different.
Amen.
Because that's not how we see you. You know how you pull people up is don't hold them into what they did. Show them who they really are in Christ.
Yeah.
Treat them that way. Speak of them that way. Think of them that way. Interact with them as if that's who they are. And it pulls them up. How many of you want to be pulled up, not kicked when you're down? Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So knowledge can be corrupted and distorted and wrong. It's the devil and the curse that distorts it. and experiences in this world where Satan is God can distort it. Also, emotions can distort it. Boy, have I found that out. If I get emotionally worked up about something, I get, bless God, you know, I don't know why they did that, and I just get worked up about it. Before I know it, my image begins distorted of what really happened in that situation. You know, after you cool off, take a nap, and wake up again, you kind of go, that was stupid. That wasn't even reality. Why was I so heated about that? Anybody ever done that? The devil works in that kind of situation. Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for the truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the knowledge of the truth will set you and make you free. In other words, true knowledge, not fake news, true knowledge. Philemon is really saying that we are not to know ourselves or identify ourselves after the flesh. You don't know God in your mind. You cannot contact God with your mind. You know Him in your spirit. You contact Him in your spirit. And the truth is, you also know yourself in your spirit. I don't know if you ever had that thought or not. Amen. You know yourself, just like you know God in your heart, you know yourself in your heart. The new man knows him, and he knows himself better than your mind knows yourself. Amen. Talk out of him. Talk out of what your spirit man wants you to say. I can't say things about myself I used to say. I get convicted down in here. It's like a sword goes through here. Don't say that. Don't say that. Because he wants me to experience the realities of who I am in Christ. And so I get convicted. I might say something, and, you know, just out of my head, and then I get convicted about it, you know. Don't say that about yourself. Amen. Husbands and wives can help one another like that. So you don't know God in your mind. Don't know yourself in your mind. Don't know yourself in the flesh. Know yourself and speak of yourself out of your heart according to what God said He knows you as. Talk out of your heart. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 8. Go turn over there real quickly. If you got a minute, you got a few more minutes? Psalm 27, verses 4 and 8. Verse 4, I'm going to read the Amplified. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, inquire for, and insistently inquire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in His presence all the day of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty and the sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and meditate, consider, and inquire in His temple. You have said, I'm going down to verse 8. You have said, seek my face, inquire for and inquire my, require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of a necessity and on the authority of your word. Now, there's a whole lot there. I'm kind of going fast because I'm running out of time. But if you study that carefully, those two verses carefully, he said, I've desired the Lord. I seek the Lord. I want to know Him. I want to know His, the Amplified of this verse number 4, His sweet attractiveness and delightful loveliness. I want to know God. I want to know how lovely He is. I want to know how wonderful He is. And I'm seeking that, and I'm doing that. But the end of verse 8 says, I do that according to His word. In other words, I find all that in His word. He speaks of Himself in His word. And He also speaks of us. So don't inquire about yourself outside of the word. I went by that real quick, but you understand, the true picture of who God really is in His word, but the true picture of who you really are is in your word. I don't care what they called you in kindergarten. I don't care what they called you through college. They said you're slow and you're dumb and you're... I don't care. That's sense knowledge. Who you are and the abilities you have are written in His word. So inquire of who you are in His word. Am I right? Am I making any sense? Get to know yourself in light of the Word. Don't try to find out who you are outside of the Word. Don't go to a psychologist to find out who you are. I'm not preaching against psychologists if somebody's a good Christian, you understand. But there's a lot of fake news when it comes to psychology. If they don't have their mind renewed, they're not going to tell you who you really are in Christ. If they know who you are in Christ, fine. But they'll tell you lies. Yeah, it's true. Not preaching against them as a profession. I'm just against lies, you understand? Praise the Lord. So God knows you. God knows the new man better than you do, and he wrote it all down in the epistles. So look in there and speak of who God said he sees you to be. Hallelujah. Don't know yourself after the flesh. You will have to acknowledge who God says you are to keep the devil's charges from sticking. When he says you're dumb, you're slow, and you go, oh, if you don't know who you are in Christ and you don't acknowledge it, that's going to stick. And that's going to put a lid on you, a ceiling on you, and you're not going to be able to go beyond that. He's got you right where he wants you. Amen? Amen. And so, just like on the witness stand, you've got to, they'll tell you, your lawyers will tell you, only say what we tell you to say. Yeah. Isn't that right? If you get up there and you say, even if it's not true, oh, I did it. Yeah, I did it. And you, they'll wrap the gavel and say, well, we've got witness. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So you just tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Every time before you speak, ask your attorney for the defense, Jesus, your advocate, who do you say I am? Amen. Your knowledge must be transformed into the image of what God said and sees about you, not conformed into the image of what you see. I said it must be transformed, not conformed. And the transformed, not conformed. This was coming out all during the men's conference. We're to have transformed lives, not conformed lives, not lives that are pushed into a mold that are the world's mold, the mold of who we see ourselves in the flesh. Transformed lives is what we're after. It's what God's after. I said it's what God's after. Praise the Lord. All that you have in you through the Spirit of God coming into you gets stirred up by acknowledging what you have received. Acknowledging it. I said acknowledging it. Acknowledge includes recognition. It includes giving evidence that you have knowledge of it. It includes expression and confession. So to acknowledge something, you have to come to the recognition of what God's Word says. Then you have to express the recognition of it through confession and other expressions. It includes what you say. The enemy wants that. He wants what you say. He wants you to say only what he says. Amen? Hello? There's a table spread right before you. Don't say, I don't know where I'm going to get the money. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I don't know, but I don't know where I'm going to get the money. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, but you don't know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I might not have all the knows of how, but I will not want. And that trumps the how. I don't care the how. I just know I won't want. I won't lack. You see how far-reaching this is? Our confession ought to be regularly in line with the truth, not just our experience. Hallelujah. The devil said, you better start worrying. You say, no, I cast all my care on the Lord because he cares for me. I'm in Christ, and he's watching after me. He's watching after everything that concerns me. He knows my future better than I know my past. He knew this need was coming up before I even knew it was going to come up. Yeah. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge his Spirit in you. Acknowledge his Word. And acknowledge what he has to say about you. Stop telling everybody, including God, what the devil is saying. Amen. We're all tired of hearing it, you know. God's tired of hearing it. You're glorifying the devil. That doesn't go down well with faith people, you know. Doesn't go down well with God. I remember Brother Charles Capps made that statement. He said he kept going to God saying, God, the devil said this and the devil said that. He said, finally, God got pretty rough with him. He said, I wish you'd stop telling me everything the devil said.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
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 And that's the truth about it.
Yes,
God can get to the place where he gets a little perturbed at that.
Yeah.
If you don't know, he's going to be merciful. But when you start coming into the light of who you are, don't go keep telling him what the devil said.
Yeah.
Go to him and tell him what he said.
Yeah.
Father, I want to thank you. You know, prayer is not supposed to be a worry session. Yeah, I just wanted to know what the devil said. I'm so worried about it, so forth. No, why don't you go to God? Father, I just want you to know I know what you said. I got all my care cast on you because you're caring for me. You won't need near as many boxes of hankies. Your prayer room won't have boxes of hankies. Your prayer room will have tennis shoes in there, man. I mean, you'll get, woo, glory, hallelujah. You come out victorious rather than, you know, with a handful of used hankies. Prayer ought to be a place of victory. If you go in needing some victory, at least you come out having it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Get your attention on what he said. Acknowledge it. Stop telling everybody else what the devil said. We're getting kind of tired of hearing it out of some of you. Young ones, we understand. We're very, very compassionate. Don't take me wrong. Some of you older brothers, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord. Stop. If you would stop acknowledging it and acknowledge God and his word, it would be more real to you. The word would be more real to you than what the devil's saying. Well, it just seems like it's so real. I know you keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Notice the connection. Bless the Lord and forget not. In other words, what I keep saying, I don't forget. I keep thanking him for his benefits. That's what's most real to me. That's what I'm not forgetting it whenever I keep saying it. But whenever I keep saying what the devil's saying, that's what's more real to me. That's what's on my mind. That's what I can't forget. That's the pictures I have of myself. That's the wrong image. That's the fake news. You understand? So it's legal to just stop saying what the devil's saying and start saying what God says. Praise the Lord. Stop acknowledging it and that won't be so real to you. You're the most aware of what you keep saying. I said you're the most aware of, I say it, but it's not real. Keep on saying it. The more you say it, the more real it'll get. It'll get real. Well, the devil's just talking so loud. Yeah, and God is too if you'll listen to him. And if you'll keep repeating what he said, it'll be more real what he's been saying. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll find if you'll keep expressing this, he will fill your expressions of faith with his power. And that power will start changing some things in your life. Praise God. But it doesn't kick in. That power doesn't kick in. It just lays over there dormant when you're over here saying the devil said, and I feel so unworthy, and I feel so defeated. What's feeling got to do with it? Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have $1 million or just feel like you have $1 million? I just feel like I got $1 million. Look in the bank, it ain't there. Look under the mattress, it ain't there. Dig a hole in the backyard where the safe is, it ain't there. Forget feeling like I got. I'd rather just have $1 million. Even if I don't feel like I got $1 million, I'd rather have $1 million. So stop talking about I feel, I feel, I feel. What you really want to talk about is what's reality. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand with me to your feet. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The more you say it, the more real it gets. When I say now I am the righteousness of God in Christ, the light of that inside is so clear, so bright, and it just, just speaks volumes of truth to me that I couldn't express to you in 3 weeks' time because I've meditated on it and I said it and said it. And as I've said it, more light has come. And so now all that light's always attached to it every time I say it. I keep saying it, all that light is attached to it. Hallelujah. It just stays attached to it because it came in the Spirit.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147, or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.